When did I become Artist of Residence? I retired in
68, wasn't it?
68, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Told them I couldn't do it in 67 because I was organizing the Centennial Art Gallery, the Putter Magazine, and the Citadel that now has become the Art Gallery in Nova Scotia.
Well, let's start at the very beginning. Let's start, could you state your full name, first of all, and your date and place of birth?
well, in 1966 in April, I retired from the Royal Canadian Navy as Commander Charles Anthony Lowe.
Mm-hmm.
And
where were you born?
I was born in London, England.
Oh, yeah.
Well, for one, as my father and mother are both Canadians. And what happened was that my mother met my father here in Halifax in 1912 when he was in the RCR, the Royal Canadian Regiment. And they fell in love and got married, and war broke out in 1914. I've forgotten the date they were. And in order to relieve the British Army in Bermuda, the Royal Canadian Regiment was sent down there. And my father and mother went there to Bermuda. And then they were sent over to England. And I arrived in 1916, on the 15th of October, during a Zeppelin raid.
Oh, my. It's an exciting birth.
So, that's the beginning.
Okay, so tell me about your artistic career and your education.
I studied with Varley, member of the Group of Seven, and also before that was Brownell, and I came to Quebec in 1937, I think it was, and I had my first exhibition in Quebec City in 1938, which went very well. Prior to that, I was designing neon signs in Quebec, going down at 8 o'clock in the morning and leaving at 6, including Saturday, for $40 a month. Well, I did so well with my exhibition, I promptly resigned. And from there, I got this painting here. It was the first painting in 1938 accepted in the Royal Canadian Academy, and it was selected among 60 paintings to tour Canada. And before I went overseas, the painting came back. And a little French Canadian made the frame in Quebec City, and there it was. It's of the Rivage Lou and the low tide. And I also had a little sailboat in those days. I used to sail up and down St. Lawrence painting. And then war broke out, and that ended that. So I went overseas. And that's another story. So, and then during that time, I won the Jesse Dow Award in Montreal, at the Montreal Arts Association. And I have most of the information in there for you.
Oh, thank you.
So that's a copy for you, so that you can refer.
Oh, yes.
And there's the painting.
There's the painting, yes.
That's a sketch, but it was badly photographed.
Oh, wait a minute. St. Mary's University
has
the original sketch.
This one.
In their
they have that one.
Their acquisitions.
Mm-hmm.
It's about so. So.
Oh, I see.
So that's nice.
So, then I went in war in motor torpedo boats. And they were high-speed boats. We screwed up the German convoys at night off the Dutch and French coasts. And I spent 5.5 years there. And then when I came back to Canada, the Admiral, and also the Minister of the Navy, who happened to be a good old Nova Scotian. Angus MacDonald.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You're not going over to the Asian War of the Pacific. You're going to become official naval warriors." So I painted and became official warriors. And then I joined the permanent force after that. And I retired in 1966. But throughout my whole career, I've always painted and had exhibitions in various places. Jane and I've had exhibitions in Victoria, BC in 1946, 47. Mm-hmm. And we're up in Ottawa. And so on. So when I retired in 66, then I stopped really being very seriously. And from there, 1968, I became artist-in-resident and also curator of the art gallery. I started the art gallery. It was in the old library. And it was a great success because all the students had to come in to the art gallery, up the stairs, into the library, and I had a built-in audience.
Mm-hmm.
We ran the whole thing on a shoestring, and I met Father Stewart, and he was head of the Drama Society, and he asked me what be interested, and I said, sure. So from then on, I used to design the sets. He would build them and phone me up and say they're ready, and I come down and paint them.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, we had some great successes together. Father Stewart had, I remember at one time, we had produced the
Ghost Train.
The Ghost Train. And after the show, this man wanted to buy the stove. And we said, Father Stewart said, "I'm sorry, it's all made of masonite. It's all painted, looks like a real stove." And then Dr. Robinson bought, I had a Japanese screen in one of the sets. And he wanted to buy that. And I said, "Sorry, it says masonite." So anyway, those were the fun things. We had a lot of fun doing it. And again, we ran it on a shoelace, and we won an award for our design of the sets when we used to have the festivals. And it was fun. We traveled up to Antigonishin with all these props and sets and put the whole thing together. And hope we'd win an award for best acting and that. The Face Ward was the director, and she had a wonderful way of even giving these young Canadian students English accents for certain plays. Mm-hmm. Ernest, the importance being Ernest, things like that. So anyway, it was lots of fun.
Were there a lot of students involved in drama at that time? Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was a very good group of students. There were a lot of them.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure now. We haven't been associated with it, so we're not. But I don't think there was. I don't think there is the interest now because they'd had less other things going on at St. Mary's at the time. So it was one of the important off campus, shall we say? No.
Extracurricular.
Yeah, extracurricular and so forth, yeah.
You see, in the old days, it was the basketball area, and it had a stage, and we had all the workshops, so we could build our sets there.
Yeah.
And then we would then set up all the seats and everything and have it for a week and put on our show. But it was wonderful because they could rehearse and also get used to the set and everything else.
And you could hear the basketball Doris, going bang, bang, bang as they practice.
Doris Butters did all the designs for the all the costume designs. So it was quite a, and a lot of the young actress and actress. They went off. Some went to CBC, and mm-hmm. both of them did very well.
Yeah.
So that was, and then of course, I was running the art gallery, and I had a show every month, including a show at the Royal Canadian Academy, a big show. That was a huge show, and I didn't have. I didn't have any staff. I had a student, but he was always busy for exams. So I always had to create, hang the show, get the other show created, and send it off. And we were on a circuit, all the universities and art galleries in the Maritime, on a circuit. And the National Art Gallery also gave us exhibitions. So we built it up. And then Edmund Morris and I, we decided we're going to build a permanent gallery. Mm-hmm. So we designed it, and that's the gallery that is there now. And Bob Dietz became the first curator because I said, look, this, you know, they practically gave me, what was I getting, $2,400 a year?
Yes.
And I said, look, this is a big job. I can't.
Yeah.
And also be artist in residence. In those days, I would be lecturing to the students at Canadian art and different things and industrial design and so on. And so I then just became artist in residence after that. So that
what year was the new library built?
The
permanent one.
Oh,
the
permanent. That was built after
the high-rise.
After
yes.
the high-rise.
No, I don't know. What's the high-rise date? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was somewhere in the early 70s.
Yeah.
I think it was started in 79. And so that was quite something. And then the library came after that. And also the Students' Union building, they put on a whole lot of stories on that too. So it grew to quite a big campus.
The university was quite a different place in 1968.
Oh yeah, there was just, I forgot, no, I think
what's there the was the main building?
3,000 students day and also evening students.
Yeah.
And it blew up, and of course, I remember at the beginning, they were all boys. Mm-hmm. So we had to borrow girls for our productions.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Go out to the Mount.
Go out to the Mount and get the... So, and I remember this one we did. It was a murder thing in New York. I had to paint the portrait of the young girl because that was an important
Laura.
Thing.
It was Laura. The title of the play was Laura.
Yeah, so I had to paint Laura. And then after the end of it, I gave the portrait to her. A big one, you know, nice big one. Well, anything like that on the stage, because it was an important factor in the play. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of fun, and Father Stewart and I went avant-garde with very modern music. Furniture, we built it. Very, very modern, and very modern set in New York mm-hmm. with a big... what would you call it? The door going out onto a nice veranda with the skylight of New York.
Mm-hmm.
That paint the skylight of New York. So that was fun. We did all kinds of things like that. And so in 1980, I stepped down and at Layson Davis took over from me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, by then we became a more sophisticated gallery and everything was going quite well then. And Bob Dietz was eased out. I used to tell him, you can't send a memorandum like that to the host. He'll fire you. You know what I mean? Very German barroom. It happened. So anyway, Lathan took it over, and from then on, things quite well. And then in 1981, they gave an honorary doctor of letters. Mm-hmm. Both Jane and I have honorary doctor letters, and both can't spell.
Now, don't tell family secrets.
So anyway, that's the story. And now...
what changes did you notice from the time you were there in 1968 to 1980 in the students?
Oh, tremendous amount of change. Because then, as I said, there were all boys. And then there were about a group of 300 Chinese.
Yes.
In China. And they were great. If you ever wanted anything done, you got the Chinese to do it for you. Wang, it was done. Mm-hmm. And I used to pull a leg a lot of the students. I said, look, if you don't smarten up, those people will be running this country. Mm-hmm. So there it was. And then those were the change. Then the girls arrived. That was exciting. And
what effect did that have?
Made the university into a very interesting campus from then on. Things really perked up, let's put it, and the Jesuits phased out. Mm-hmm. But Father Stewart was always there as long as I was there.
Yeah.
But Father LaBelle retired, and so did
Father Fogarty.
Yes, he was, Father Fogarty was vice president.
I'll just put this on pause.
Okay. When the Jesuits were running the university, Father LaBelle was the president and Father Fogarty was the vice president. And when we would have an opening and they would have a nice dinner party for the artist and probably a few members of the family or something like that. And it was always very nice. And then we'd go over to the art gallery. That was the library in those days, the old library. That was, and we'd have a lovely opening and be most pleasant. Lots of people could come. And so this was a way of introducing these artists to the community and to the university. And our main aim was to expose the students and give them a more liberal education by seeing the various types of art from the impressionists like myself and the high realists and the abstract painters and the conceptual art and the very avant-garde work. And so they'd be able to have a good look at all the things, including pottery and things like that, and some sculpture. And so sculpture was always a big business because it's very expensive to create and ship. So we didn't have too many shows of that. But it was a lot of shows. And it was very interesting. We got lovely shows from different parts of Canada. In those days, you see, it wasn't too expensive to ship all the paintings and insure them. And on the syndicate circuit, we were all members of Newfoundland, PEI, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick, the Atlantic art circuit. And we would produce one show a year of ourselves, each university and art gallery would produce one show a year, and we would go up and bid for it. And we'd put it on our calendar. So that's the reason we had a show every month. And so it was very exciting. But in those days, things weren't too expensive. And then all of a sudden, everything took off. And now, Latham can't have the shows like we did because it takes a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Everything is so expensive now to ship and insure and so on. So, but in those days, we took advantage. And I remember all the students were going into the library, would stop, and you show arriving, I'd be taking them out of the crates. They wanted to see them, discuss them, and what kind of, who's this, where they from, the artist. All was fun anyway. Mm-hmm. So those were the early primitive days.
Well, you did some crafts too.
Oh, yes.
You had a nice glass case between.
And a weaving show of the famous weaver. What was her name?
Betsy Murray and.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was cute too because it was Bishop Hayes. And he had ordered, it was for, in red, for the special services. I think it's All Saints, he always wears red, and there are about four or five different times during the year. Mm-hmm. And Tony had this on exhibit. It was borrowed for the exhibit.
It was Betsy Murray. And
Betsy
all
Murray had done it, all the beautiful all embroidery things, yeah. And so forth on it. And Tony arrived one morning, and it was gone. And he was in a panic.
Deep funk. I found
it. Bishop Hayes had to have it for the service that morning, so someone nipped down and got it off the forum. And Tony wasn't there for them to say, it's all right, it's going to come back. So he had a few hours of worry.
Once I found out, I was happy. And anyway, Bishop Hayes bought the thing from Betsy Murray.
Yes, that was it. It was made special.
And there were stoles and all kinds of things were beautifully done.
Yeah.
So we had a variety of things.
It was great.
But as I say, in those days it was easy. And then in the summer, I would get all the local artists and have about three or four of their works and just leave it up there for the whole summer. So they could, and not only some of the artists sold their works and that kind of helped, but it exposed them to all the local artists as well. Mm-hmm.
So you say that you gave some classes at some point?
Oh, yes, we ran. Oh, yes, I ran life classes at
in
night.
In the gallery.
In the gallery. And then Jane and I ran a workshop for, what was it, 4 weeks? One was?
No, the first one was 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
The next one was 10 days.
Yes.
And the last one was a week.
Shorter.
They ran out of steam. Well, 2 weeks of
we
intensive painting. The students would meet at the gallery, and then we would explain the subjects we were going to do, mm-hmm. and then everyone would get in their cars, and we would take some of them, and we'd drive around, and we parked all over the city,
yes.
And we came out here and did the Armdale Yacht Club using the Greek church's parking lot, mm-hmm. and we could look across. Mm-hmm. We went to some amazing
Point
places.
Point Pleasant Park.
Point Pleasant Park and all. And we were lucky, not much rain, they did some very interesting work, so that was good.
Around what time was that?
I think that would have been...
That would be in the summer.
Summer, and it would have probably been 80, mm-hmm. 1980,
81, yeah.
82. We did it three successive...
Or in the 70s, James.
Maybe if you started 79, yes. But it was getting towards the...
I retired in 1980. So you got to back up.
Back up. All right. Then it was the 3 years before you retired that we did it.
Mm-hmm. And then the life classes in the evening. I used to get life models. This was very exciting for the university. Because Halifax was fairly prim and proper in those days.
Oh, yes.
So I broke all the records for that.
Well, Lathan carried on with that tradition, though.
Oh, yes, he did afterwards, but
But you had broken the ice.
Yes. With the Jesuits,
Oh, yeah. I know, of course, with the Jesuits. Yes.
So you see, you have to go back to 75.
Yeah, for the life classes, yeah. Yes.
So anyway, there we are. And so that was the aspect of Mary's. And Jane was involved in the
faculty women.
Yeah, what? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, and the faculty women, it was changes happened in that were external exchanges, changes. Most of the members of that were either the faculty or the wives of faculty members. And the wives of faculty members basically were not going out and having careers in those days. So we were quite a large group. Mm-hmm. And we used to do some very interesting things. For instance, we had international cooking. And, of course, there are many, many of the professors who are from different countries, everything, and their wives are very generous, and they would invite us to their homes, and they would cook a meal. We went to Krishnamurti's home, and she did wonderful Indian dishes, and Dr. Rojo did Spanish cooking, and then we had a professor, a Dr. Sun, who was Chinese, and she gave several cooking classes. And it was interesting because she said she was teaching courses involving the study of China at the time. And she said, I think that you can understand culture much better if you eat the food. Mm-hmm. And she said, now in China, we don't use milk.
Oh, really?
So there are no dishes with milk in them. And there were various other things that she brought up in the cooking, and how they cook things very quickly, because it's expensive. Fuel for them is expensive. So they have evolved this form of cooking, which they have a very high heat and they cook things quickly. And another thing, most of their things are cut up very fine. That's because you can't cut with chopsticks. And we learned how to use our chopsticks. And all these little things I thought this was a wonderful thing. And she said she did this in her classes. She would take the students. The Jesuits had a very nice dining area, and the kitchen facilities were right off that.
That's
and
right.
And went, you know, up on the, what was it, third, fourth floor, when they were in residence there. So she would borrow that and take all her classes there. They would learn about the Chinese cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And we even produced a few recipe little booklets, because the dishes that we had were so nice and we wanted them.
What other events did the Faculty Women's Association?
They raised a lot of money, which now is where some of the scholarships come from for the they had raffles. They held raffles. They made quilts. They did a lot of knitted things. They produced a great number of things that they sold.
Mm-hmm.
And this raised the money that they were able to. Now they name them. Several of the members of the faculty group died, and they have them as a memorial. Mm-hmm. To them. So that's why the names are, I'm trying to think of the names and I can't, but anyway, there are two that, it was a good way too for new people coming in, new families, for the wives to meet the other professors.
And also talk about the watercolor classes you gave them, and also what you still do is up to lunch
once
a month. For a new restaurant every month.
Yes, that's sort of it's. But we're very active then. We are not as active now. But as I say, it's the change of the way people live now. And many of the wives have other professions, so they haven't the time to give to it that they used to have. So that's one of them. I give a little watercolor class every workshop every now and then for them. And there's a little nucleus that's enjoys painting. And if you remember at the exhibition, the faculty exhibition, there were a number of pieces that were done by some of the faculty members.
Wow.
So each year they put something in the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Now we're doing it very slowly, but we're raising money for a book scholarship. We felt that would be a good thing, knowing how expensive your books are.
Yes.
only now, tell me, what's going to happen with the computers and with all this? You are not going to need books anymore, are you?
I hope that never happens.
The writers won't like that.
No.
So out to lunch, what were you talking about?
Out to lunch. Well, we've done that for 10, 12 years. We pick 6 restaurants in town. And the first Friday of every month, we go to one of these. And it involves, we have to phone everyone and say, you're going to come out to lunch. And it's been great fun. Number of the restaurants don't exist anymore than we went, but there are new ones always coming along, so we've been able to, we repeat a few of the very special ones, but usually we have more than half are brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, every time I say it though, I get a little chill. Out to lunch. I wonder if they think we're all a little light up here.
So it's an interesting group because they're all so international.
Poles, yes.
Chinese, so on, Spanish. Quite an interesting group of professors.
Yes. I would say about a third of them are professors.
Mm-hmm.
Come. So that...
that's the women, of course.
In the women, yes. Yeah. And then what we've done, too, is twice during the year, we have either a brunch or a dinner, and we invite the husbands so they can enjoy it, too.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, when everybody comes out, potluck.
Potluck,
And the husband bring a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And all the...
And then we have these fascinating dishes that are, it's international cooking all over again, mm-hmm. because everyone brings something that they particularly enjoy doing, and we've had all sorts of marvelous dishes.
So are there any other changes you can think of, either one of you, that you noticed over the time that you were there?
No.
Besides the Jesuits leaving and the women coming in.
Well, that's another thing we always have done, too. We've always had a children's party, the faculty.
Father Stewart has always been Santa Claus.
And he's always been Santa Claus. And this, these last 3-4 times, we've had it at the new center, the sports center.
Oh.
And that's been a great improvement. We used to have it in the student union building, and it was sort of their cafeteria area and so forth. But this is so lovely. It's big and it's been been great, and very light. It used to be sort of a dark room. I don't know why it was so dark, except I think it was on the lower level anyway. So that's one of the things.
Yes, and now Jane and I, over the years, have been building up our scholarship fund with, for St. Mary's.
There's, well, that's something we can. I can say about the scholarships. I was president of the Faculty Women's Association, and the first scholarship presentation I went to representing the faculty women, the group was so small that we had it in the art gallery, and we just stood around in a little circle. And, well, it took a very short time because we didn't have a great number of scholarships. I think we had two to give, but we've increased ours. And there just weren't the number of scholarships. And now, when you have to have it where they do, and the lineup of students, oh, there may have been 20 maybe, and that's making it a good big figure that got scholarships at the time. So that change has been, I think, remarkable. I've never seen anything.
Especially nowadays, yeah. Because of the worldwide depression.
Yeah.
You know, we're all in the same boat. Don't think it's just Canada. I know we've slipped from fourth trading to 11th now. But it's very serious all in Europe and everywhere in the Western world. Mm-hmm. So being a great, for a student, it's a pretty tough going financially, but you know all about it.
It is. Well, that's about all I want to talk about. You can do anything else?
No, Jane.
Oh, yes, I have something.
Yes.
I'm so glad you phoned and you came out because I'm not sure I would have been able to find you.